hockey fans, and welcome to the Hockey News Prospect Podcast. I'm your host, Edward Fraser. I'm here with prospect expert Ryan Kennedy on the podcast today. The team spotlight is going to be on the Ottawa Senators, and the 2018 Drafts player spotlight will be on Ryan Merkley. But first, as always, let's start off with headlines and Ryan Carter Hart.
Yeah, the Everett Silvertips goaltender is now the franchise leader in shutouts. Got his 21st career shutout the other day, and he now leads the WHL with a .952 save percentage and 1.65 goals against average. Truly been a fantastic season since he came back from mononucleosis. Obviously, it's great news for Everett right now. Even better news for Team Canada, because Carter Hart is one of their, he is their returning goaltender. I'm thinking that Michael DiPietro of the Windsor Spitfires has the inside track as the other goalie for Canada. At one point, I kind of felt like, maybe DiPietro will steal some starts, but the way Carter Hart is playing right now, it's hard to see him not in that crease, particularly in the medal round, because he has that experience already.
I don't want to snipe Ken's story, but I found it really interesting. He's got a Carter Hart profile in our upcoming World Junior Championship preview, and Ron Hextall at the Flyers camp challenged him not only to be the best goalie in the WHL, but the best player in the WHL. Mm-hmm. And I think with the numbers he's putting up so far, it's pretty hard to argue. Another player who's absolutely tearing things up in a different league, Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, it's fun if you're on Twitter at all and follow anybody from the Vancouver area. Canucks fans are just going bonkers for Elias Pettersson, and with good reason. We are seeing a season unlike one we've seen in years from Pettersson. He's still a teenager, and he is absolutely destroying the SHL. He's one of the top scorers. It's kind of funny. I had it written down that he has 27 points in 20 games, but the game was still going on when we were recording, and when I started writing it down, he only had 2 points, and then he got a third, and he still had a period to go. So for all we know, he's up to 30 points in 20 games. I guess we'll have to find out. But it's truly amazing. I mean, his playmaking skills are fantastic. He's a great finisher as well. Just anywhere in the offensive zone, he's deadly. And I've always liked his compete level. He's a smart player, and he really drives himself. And just to give you a sense of how well he is doing, in Sweden, they're really good about breaking up the stats, where they'll give you junior-aged players as its own stat sort. Now, Elias Pettersson obviously leads that. Like I said, he had 27 points in 20 games. Elias Andersson, the New York Rangers first rounder, who's a very good prospect in his own right, he has 8 points right now, and he's tied for second. So that just sort of gives you a sense of how far ahead Elias Pettersson is. And his Växjö Lakers team is in first place as well. So it's not like Elias Pettersson is getting garbage time points. He's playing on the best team in all of Sweden. So just a really fun story to watch. And again, heading into the World Juniors, I mean, like, how dangerous is this Swedish squad going to be with Pettersson and Andersson and, of course, Rasmus Dahlin on the back end? So it's going to be a fun one, that's for sure.
It's funny, when we were talking out and planning out the World Junior Championship preview issue we were doing, it seemed a little boring. Maybe it was just Canadian bias because Canada doesn't have a lot of really top-end star power. But when you look at the Swedes and what they've gotten, of course, what you were talking about, Finland, with them having 5 first-rounders on their blue line, this is shaping up to a tournament that's just going to be an absolute delight to watch just based on the amount of high-end potential NHL, future NHL talent that's coming around.
Yeah, it really is. And I think the fun thing, too, is that some of these really good players are over in Europe right now. So, we'll see clips and you'll get the GIFs on Twitter and things like that. But players like Pettersson, you get to see them up close and personal. Eli Tolvanen, who's just wrecking the KHL, the Nashville first rounder, he'll be coming back over. He used to be a USHLer, and now he's playing with Jokerit. So it's going to be fun just to see how these kids all stack up with one another. And I think there's going to be some really good parity in the tournament this year.
World Junior A Challenge camp rosters are out?
Yeah, this is a pretty good tournament. Also comes out in December, a little bit before the World Juniors. And for folks that don't know, this is a really good showdown for players that don't get the big major junior spotlight. So Canada always fields 2 teams here. There's Canada East and Canada West. And Canada West tends to be stronger, just because the talent pool, for whatever reason, BC in particular, tends to churn out some really good NCAA prospects, so they play junior A instead of major junior. Leading the charge this year, a player that I think people should keep an eye on is Johnny Tekonic, who's a University of North Dakota commit, plays for the Penticton Vs in the BCHL. Penticton is, I will say, you know, the cream of the crop when it comes to organizations in junior A. They've churned out so many good players. Tyson Jost was there, Dante Fabro. You know, they have a really nice history recently of producing players. So he's a puck-moving defenseman, having a nice season with the Vs. He's in contention for Canada West. I would suspect that he'll make it. He was on the squad last year. And then Canada East has a very nice player to watch for, Jack McBain. He plays for the Toronto Junior Canadians in the OJHL, and he's committed to Boston College. He's a big center. He can really shoot the puck. He can move. And I've seen him in person before. I'm going to see him again this week. Just a really good package, you know, and he has actually got an NHL pedigree. Andrew McBain is his father. They used to play in the league. So, you know, Jack McBain grew up knowing what it took to become a pro, and he's on his way there. Now, Team USA is always one of the favorites in this tournament, and they've actually named their final roster. It's all USHL players, which it pretty much always is. And a couple of NHL picks to watch for. Clayton Phillips, the Pittsburgh Penguins draft pick. He's a puck-moving defenseman committed to the University of Minnesota. I think he'll be a good one to watch. He's playing for Muskegon this year. And then Jack Dugan, the Vegas Golden Knights pick. This is a kid that I've been following for basically a year or so now. Kind of a sleeper in the draft. He was a raw player, was playing high school hockey in Lake Placid last year, but there was a lot to like. Good size, aggressive, and he is having a fantastic first year with the Chicago Steel, one of the leading scorers. So he'll be one to watch. And then a couple of kids up for the draft this year that I think need to have big tournaments. Christian Krieger, the defenseman with the Lincoln Stars. He's had trouble putting points on the board so far, but he's got a really nice pedigree to him. And I think this will be a good environment. You know, the Stars, they've got a lot of young kids this year. They're still finding their way. So there's a lot of potential there, but they just have to realize it. And then Jake Kucharski plays for Des Moines. He's a Penn State commit. And, you know, Des Moines is an okay team, and Kucharski is putting up decent stats, but it'll be good to see what he can do in this tournament. And, yeah, just a lot of good players out there.
Yeah, that'll be a good tournament to watch. And as we've seen with some of these guys who have gone high in the first round and actually come in and made an impact, Junior A is no longer a circuit to be overlooked. There's some really great talent coming out of there. Another player who'll be suiting up for Team USA at the World Junior A Championship is Blake McLaughlin, who is a 2018 draft prospect currently playing in the USHL with Chicago. Ryan, you caught up with Blake earlier this week to talk about his season so far and that WJAC tournament.
I'm here with Blake McLaughlin from the Chicago Steel of the USHL. And first off, Blake, you were just named to the U.S. World Junior A Challenge team. How do you feel about that selection?
Honestly, it's a really great honor. It should be fun to meet some of the guys out there and just try to win gold out there.
Right on. And this isn't even the first time you've played in a big event this year. You were also at the All-American Prospects game. I'm interested in just hearing from you what it's like to play in an all-star game like that, and when it's all draft-eligible players like yourself, and you're coming from all over the country in different leagues.
There was a lot of skill out there, so, I mean, like, you always kind of had to be working. It was a really cool experience, so, there was a lot of, just like I said, a lot of skill, and everyone could move the puck. I mean, you could tell some guys were, like, faster and quicker, and they adjusted to the pace better, and, the main thing would probably just be the pace and the skill of the guys had. It was just kind of unbelievable and a pretty cool experience.
Right. And it must have been kind of neat having Brian Leetch and Chris Chelios as the head coaches there.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Now, back with the Steel, you're off to a great start. Playing on a line with Vegas Golden Knights pick Jack Dugan, what have you liked about that combination so far?
he sees the ice really well, so he's found me a lot of times on the back door where I had some pretty nice goals where you, I don't know, not a lot of kids could miss it, so he set me up good. And Shorzy works his bag off every time, so he's a really good guy to have on the line. Solid defensive centerman, and he can obviously put the puck in the net too. So, I don't know, we're a really good line combination. We're looking to keep it going.
Indeed, yeah, and that's Baker Shore, the fourth of the Shore brothers, a pretty good lineage there. Now you're going to spend the whole season with Chicago. There had been the option of going back to play Minnesota High School, but take me through your decision process, why you thought the USHL was the way to go for the rest of the season.
Originally, I was going to go back to high school when I came down here, but I kind of just, I didn't really know how this would go down when I got down here, but ever since, like, we just, me and all the guys became super tight, and I don't know, it's kind of a nice brotherhood down here, and it's definitely, I would think, it's better for me and my development as a hockey player and for my career, just moving on in life. Like, this would probably get me more ready for, like, college and stuff like that, so it all kind of came into play, and then I just thought it was, I mean, we won the state tournament last year, so I kind of just figured I'd reached the highest point in high school hockey, so I kind of wanted to move on to juniors now.
There you go, and you are preparing, eventually you will go back to Minnesota. You are a Golden Gophers commit. What went into that choice for you, wanting to commit to the University of Minnesota?
A lot of things. I mean, I had a lot of family play there. My uncle, my stepdad, my stepbrother. My mom and dad met there, so a lot of family went there, and it's always just been a childhood favorite. Watching them grow up, I think about every Minnesota kid watches the Gophers, so it was kind of a pretty easy decision when they asked me.
Fair enough. And getting back to the Steel for a second, I know Chicago kind of plays in the suburbs of the city, but I would think it's one of the better markets to play in the USHL because you're so close to such a major metropolis. Is it kind of fun being in the Chicago area? Do you ever go downtown?
Yeah, I've been downtown a few times. It's just, I don't know, we're only like 30 minutes away from the city, so it's pretty nice, and it's kind of crazy, just they literally have everything you want to do here, like if it's top golf or like whatever you guys want to do on an off day, or I don't know, I'm from a smaller town where we didn't have that luxury, so it's been pretty cool.
Right on. And finally, if there was an NHL player that you'd like to model your game after, who would it be?
I like to think of a mix between Andrew Shaw and Patrick Kane.
Yeah, right on. So obviously, some Blackhawks past and present there. Did you grow up as a Chicago fan?
Yeah. Really did. I don't know, I've always been watching Kane since I was probably 7 when he got drafted. So, yeah, I've always liked the style that he's played and everything like that. And then I just really like how Shaw works and to get in front of the net and stuff like that.
Sounds good. Well, Blake, thanks so much for doing this, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Our 2018 draft spotlight this week is on Ryan Merkley of the Guelph Storm. Ryan, tell us a little bit about Ryan Merkley and what we can expect from him heading up into the draft.
Well, Ryan Merkley is a very interesting player. He was the first overall pick in the OHL draft 2 years ago, and this was when the Guelph Storm were really kind of at a low point, and he was going to be a big building block for them. They struggled again last year, but he had a fantastic season. He was actually the first defenseman to lead all OHL rookies in scoring since 1988. Rick Corriveau pulled the trick. So, yeah, the numbers were fantastic, and he led the Storm in scoring. He's leading the Storm in scoring again this year, and I thought Guelph would be a little better than they are right now, but you know, there's still a lot of potential there. And the thing about Merkley is he's a big risk-reward guy.
Tell the listeners what do you mean by that.
Well, Merkley is a fantastic offensive weapon. He's a fast skater. He's dazzling with the puck, very good at handling it. He can distribute. He can shoot. But his defensive play is kind of lacking right now. And, you know, when I talk to scouts, they're excited, but there's also some trepidation there where it's like if he's going to, you know, produce a goal, he might give one up at the other end a couple of shifts later. And I think that the attention to detail and really buying in his own end is going to be the challenge for Merkley. And, you know, I mean, it's still early, and I think that the package he has on the offensive end is so enticing that if you're an NHL team, you look at the positives and you say, kids like that are hard to find, and if we can mold him in the right way, then we can really have something. And if you think about a lot of young defensemen that had promise, a lot of them weren't great defensive players. An example that often comes up when I talk to scouts is Jake Gardner with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's turned into one of their better defenders, but obviously it was his skating and his offense that got him on the board in the first place. So for me, it's interesting because when I look at Ryan Merkley, I say, okay, he's undersized and he's ultra skilled. Is he Ryan Ellis or is he Ryan Murphy? That to me is going to be the question. And, you know, when I look at this draft board, it's going to be really interesting to see where his stock falls when the draft actually happens, because at the top end, you got Rasmus Dahlin. Best player in the draft, best defenseman in the draft, obviously also has fantastic offensive skills. After that, you have another Swede, Adam Boqvist, who is, you know, similar to Dahlin, doesn't have the same size because Dahlin's like 6'2", but Boqvist is very good in his own right. Then you're looking at Quinn Hughes at the University of Michigan, another player where the offense definitely outweighs the defense, but, you know, when I talk to scouts, they really like what he has to offer. Then you got Ty Smith out in Spokane. Similar to Merkley, but I would say Smith probably has a little more defensive awareness. And then you got Rasmus Sandin, who joined the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds this year out of Sweden. He's a little more of a two-way guy, but maybe part of that was just because internationally he was playing with guys like Boqvist, and he was taking on a role that helped his team. But there's some nice offensive capabilities in Sandin as well. So does Merkley go after all those guys? Does he go in the middle? It might be a team choice, and I think that's what makes him so intriguing right now is the potential versus the drawbacks. You know, what team is going to fall in love with him and when?
All right, well, you've watched all these guys. He's not going ahead of Dahlin, probably not going ahead of Boqvist, but you're the GM. Are you taking him ahead of any of the other potential defensemen?
I think right now the only one I would take him ahead of is Rasmus Sandin, simply because of the upside is higher with Merkley. If I'm a conservative GM, then maybe I take Sandin first because there's a little more of, well, I should say there's a lot more of a two-way game there. But that would be my sort of like conservative versus like, you know, throwing things off the wall, let's go for it. Analysis. Mm-hmm.
Any chance we see him in the World Juniors?
Not this year. No. I would think that next year he'll get a crack just because his numbers are so insane. But he would definitely have to tighten up defensively in order to get that chance.
Just too much depth for Canada for them to be not taken, for them to be taking underagers. Team spotlight this week, the Ottawa Senators. Lots of really, really nice and high-end prospects with the Sens. We've kind of fallen into a pattern. I shouldn't say fallen in, but we've taken the pattern of going league by league, and I think it works well. Let's save the best for last on Ottawa until last and start with some of the junior prospects. Let's go to the queue first and talk about Drake Batherson.
Yeah, Drake Batherson. It might be Batherson. I've never said it out loud.
nor I, surprisingly.
Yeah. Really kind of unfortunate because he was off to a red hot start with the Cape Breton Screaming Eagles. he just broke his hand. He got slashed against Moncton. He's going to be out at least 3 weeks. And, you know, there was maybe an outside chance that he would get some World Junior love, and maybe he still will, but with that timetable, it's really kind of cutting it close. He's got some nice size, and he's a great offensive player. So I thought that was a really nice pick by Ottawa because, you know, he was not a first rounder. This is somebody they got on the second day. And I see him as a bit of a late bloomer. He kind of came out of nowhere last year and put up some pretty nice numbers for the Screaming Eagles, and he's continuing it this year.
Ottawa's done very nice picking somewhat no-name guys later in the draft. They've hit some home runs there. The OHL players.
Yeah, Alex Fermentin with the London Knights. He actually stuck around with the Senators for a while there, got into a game. He's known for his speed, fantastic skater, and he's still putting together the other parts of his game. But when you have that foundation, it's such a good sign. Now that he's back with the Knights, he's been more than a point-per-game player. And London, which got off to a really brutal start because they were missing some key guys, they're getting better now. And you know, with Fermentin there, I think we're going to see more of the team that we're used to in London that's going to be competing. I don't think they're necessarily a title team again this year, but they've got some really nice players, and Fermentin helps there. And then another player that stuck around with Ottawa once the season began, and they just sent him back recently, was Logan Brown. He's with the Windsor Spitfires once again, won the Memorial Cup with them last year. He's been piling up points, and I think he'll have a pretty nice role at the World Juniors with Team USA. He missed it last year, part of which was depth, part of which was he got banged up just before training camp. But he's going to be a very nice piece for them. In the summer, he played with Kyler Yamamoto and Casey Mittelstadt in what was an amazing line for the Americans, and I would suspect that they would at least give those guys a shot to play again with each other in Buffalo, so that'll be fun to see. The one thing I would like to see from Logan Brown is just a little more strength in the face-off circle. You know, this is a player that, from the time Ottawa drafted him in the first round, we loved the size. He's 6'6", 200-plus pounds, but the strength wasn't there yet, and he's been working on that. He'll continue to work on that, and I think it's going to make his game just jump to another level once he really gets that man strength. So I would say, like, with Logan Brown, the upside is still very high, and we're still looking at better things to come.
Let's turn to the NCAA and talk about Todd Burgess at RPI.
Yeah, Todd Burgess was a player that he caught my eye when he was in the NAHL with the Fairbanks Ice Dogs. And I asked the scout about him because I didn't see him on, you know, a lot of draft lists. And he was like, yeah, you know what? Like, this kid could be a sleeper, a bit of a late bloomer, might be like a Jimmy Vesey type. And so I was really excited, you know, after Ottawa drafted him to see what he could do in the NCAA. And then, unfortunately, right at the start of his freshman season, he hurt his knee, had to have surgery, missed the whole year. Now he's back. And ironically, through 12 games, he's been more of a playmaker. I think he has one goal and 7 points. So he's finding a way to contribute with the Engineers. Interesting guy. I think this is a player that, you know, he's a bit of an older prospect, but could be a really nice find. Like you were saying earlier, the Sens have been pretty good about finding some gems late, and I think Burgess could be another one.
Anybody over in Europe catching your eye?
Well, yeah, I mean, Marcus Nurmi is kind of interesting. He's a big-bodied kid from Finland. You know, he's playing with TPS Turku in the Liiga, which is Finland's top circuit. And, you know, his numbers aren't eye-popping, but he's getting a couple of points here and there. And, you know, when I look at Finland's depth chart for the World Juniors, he was there at the Summer Showcase in Michigan. And, you know, he's playing sort of a middle-line role. This is a team that has some really nice high-end players. We look at Eli Tolvanen and Christian Vesalainen. But, you know, there are opportunities for guys to slide in there, and I think Nurmi has a shot. So if he can play well at camp, then we'll see him at the World Juniors for Finland.
I said we'd save the best for last, and when I say the best, I might mean the best of the entire league. Thomas Chabot, very likely he'll be number one in our future watch rankings, and I guess there is some concern that he didn't make the Sens this year. A lot of people were expecting him, but you know, really, I think people need to pump the brakes if they're concerned about this kid's long-term future.
Yeah, and this is something that I love to repeat because it's what scouts tell me. The jump between junior and the pro ranks, specifically the AHL, is the hardest jump a player's ever going to make. It's harder than going from the AHL to the NHL. So for Chabot to come in, you know, and go from junior to the NHL as a defenseman, it was going to be tough. And, you know, he went down to Belleville, he got his reps, he was learning the game, you know, just getting his mind in the pro mentality, figuring out the speed and everything. And then actually, you know, more recently, Ottawa called him up because Mark Borowiecki got hurt, and, you know, he got a point in his first game. So I don't know how long Chabot's going to be up there. I know that Ottawa wants to handle him right. And if it's better for him to be playing big minutes in Belleville instead of lesser minutes in Ottawa, or even just, you know, taking hard lumps in Ottawa, I think they're going to have him back in the AHL. That would be ideal, unless he really blows the doors off in the next couple of games. But they're going to be careful, and it's the right play because I don't think there's a rush. You know, if he doesn't become a full-timer until next year, that's fine. You know, Ottawa already has the best defenseman in the world right now in Erik Karlsson. And Thomas Chabot, you know, because of that great puck-moving game he has, he's going to be such an asset. And if he matures the way we think he will, then Ottawa's just going to be so flush.
And Chabot's not the only player playing in Belleville who's a really high-end prospect who's going to make a real big NHL impact.
Yeah, Colin White's there right now, and he's putting up some decent numbers. He's not playing on the top line. There's another player, Philip Chalapik, that I should probably mention that's having some pretty decent numbers down there in Belleville. But Colin White, you know, we've always seen him as that really good two-way player, and he uses his speed to be effective, and You know, he had a bit of a bad break early in the season, in the preseason, blocked a shot, and he got hurt when he was playing for Ottawa. So that set him back a bit. But, you know, again, like it's not something that you need to rush if you're the Senators. They're a pretty decent team to begin with. And, you know, as Colin White develops, I think he has the chance to be that really good shutdown guy. You know, kind of like a Patrice Bergeron light, or even what we're seeing with Nazem Kadri now in Toronto, a guy that can put up points but can also take on the other team's top players. I still think Colin White has that capability in his game. And, you know, it's just he's always been a really good player dating back to his NTDP days. And he has all the tools. It's just a matter of putting them together. And he's getting his reps in Belleville. I think that's great. And, you know, once Ottawa has him where they want him, I think they're going to have a really effective weapon.
That's our look around the world of prospects for this week. For Ryan Kennedy, I'm Edward Fraser. Thanks for listening.